자유란 떠나가 분열의 하니 자유란 떠나가 분열의 하니 자유한 것을 얻나봐 길이 바라다니 자유한 것을 얻나봐 길이 바라다니 야소나나나나 라자나나나나나 야소나나나나 라자나나나나 야무나티라나 자 야무나 비라나 차이 자유라드마다 분야대하이 높이라나봐 길이 와다니 자유한 곳이라나봐 길이 와다니 야소다 나나 바제나나나 야소다 나나 바나나나 야소다 나나 바제나나나 영원 어떠한 자리 영원 어떠한 자리 나열아 나마다 흥렴배하리 자유시 그리스도 대가나 아무리 전하나 이야기가 들어는 시화산이 고아랐더네 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada.
की जाए श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की जाए हरिनाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जाए गौर भक्त वृंद की जाए अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाए मिटाए गौर प्रेमानंद. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 7th canto, chapter 4, entitled Hiranyakasipu, Terrorizes the Universe. Text number 30. Tasya daichapati patras. Putras, I couldn't read it properly. Tasya daicha pati putras. Chadvara paramat bhutaha. Prarada bunmaham stesham. Gunair mahatu pashaka. Hiranyakasipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlad was the best. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities because he was an unalloyed devotee of the personality of Godhead. Purport. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatir kinchana sarvir gunais tata samasate sara. In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Prahlad Maharaj is praised herein for having all good qualities because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a pure devotee who has no motives has all good qualities, material and spiritual. If one is spiritually advanced, being a staunch, liberal devotee of the Lord, all good qualities are manifest in his body. On the other hand, harava bhakti shakuto mahatguna, if one is not a devotee, even if he has some material good qualities, they have no value. That is the verdict of the Vedas. Om agyanati manandas. Translation again. Hiranyakasipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlad was the best. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities because he was an unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So first of all, we are seeing how Hiranyakasipu is having so much good fortune, materially speaking. He is a very wealthy, a very powerful, his body is very well built, he has four qualified sons. These are all the benedictions that are usually reserved for the pious souls. Those living beings who are pious, they are receiving such kind of material opulence, and those who are sinful and impious, they will be deprived of wealth, deprived of bodily beauty, deprived of sons, deprived of a good wife, deprived of a good home, deprived of a peaceful life, deprived of a long lifespan, and all these things. And Hiranyakasipu seemed to have all good fortune. He was rich, very rich. He was at one point seated on the throne of Indra, and the universe functioned better than it ever did before. When Hiranyakasipu was there, there were nothing. Everything was at its best. All the various deities controlling the different forces of nature made sure that there was no imperfection, so that nothing could possibly displease Hiranyakasipu. Because if you did displease him, it was dangerous. When Hiranyakasipu raised his eyebrow, That alone was enough to instill fear in the hearts of all the living beings in the universe. So, in this way, we are seeing how sometimes the demons are also receiving so much material opulence and so much material power. Sometimes greater than the devotees. If we see the amount of wealth that is available in the world and how little the devotees actually have at this point in time, then you just sometimes think, how is it possible? Right? But this is simply external. Because actually, the devotees, they are the instrument of Krishna. And Krishna is unlimitedly wealthy. And Krishna can supply anything that is required for his Sankirtan movement. And there is no such thing as material calculation. Everything is going on by the arrangement of Krishna. There is no question that in this Sankirtan movement, anything is going on by the law of karma. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada explained that that analogy of the fan, that if we turn off the fan, that it will still keep on spinning for a while. In the same way, he said, when someone takes up devotional service, it is at that point that the electricity of his karmic activities is being switched off. But the karmic fan is still spinning and only gradually slowing down. Therefore, those who take up devotional service, they are still getting diminished reactions for their previous sinful activities. Yes. But then here in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada told Giriraj Maharaj, he told him that yes, Krishna gives these reactions, but Krishna is supervising it all. And Krishna decides. He's watching, and sometimes Krishna decides, no, this reaction not required, or this reaction delayed. It comes at another time than it was destined to come. Therefore, the devotees will see Krishna. Krishna is in control. In any situation, Krishna is in control. I may suffer some reactions of my previous sinful deeds, but Krishna is in control. And therefore, we rely on Krishna. We recall that at one point in the interaction between Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad, it came to a showdown of power. Because Hiranyakasipu, he was operating on the principle of power. It was all power. His power. Who could match his power? And power was what was interesting him. So therefore, when Prahlad, somehow or other, was fearless, when he decided, Hiranyakasipu, that Prahlad was a threat to the entire family. And he used different analogies, like one when sometimes a limb of the body has become infected. It has become so much infected that it becomes putrid and rotten and toxic. And in fact, that one limb of the body can kill the entire body. And therefore, the only thing to be done is it must be cut. And therefore, this Prahlad was to be killed. It was justified. But Prahlad did not die. He did not die. So Hiranyakasipu tried various ways under the feet of elephants. Didn't work. In hot boiling oil, didn't work. In a pit with snakes, didn't work. Trying to get some demons to pierce him with lances. But as they were attacking him, the lances, according to the Nrisimha Purana, they bounced off the body of Prahlad and actually cut those demons. Then they tried to throw him off a cliff. Nothing could kill this boy. So they brought him before Hiranyakasipu, and he asked him, "Where are you getting your power? From the same source as you, my dear father." That was Vishnu, right? Then he says, that was it, you know, that was the last straw that broke the camel's back. That was really the ultimate insult, right? I mean, that was unbearable. That was the point where Hiranyakasipu lost it, right? And his anger just took over. But this is the fact, though. No power is independent of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, within a devotee, all the good qualities develop because Krishna, he gives those good qualities. It is by the association with Krishna that automatically all the good qualities of Krishna develop and that one becomes purified. And the devotee naturally develops the qualities of Krishna because he's a servant of Krishna. The servant naturally develops the qualities of the master, naturally, because he's trying to please the master. So it is logical that he develops those qualities that the master holds in high esteem. Whatever is valuable to the master becomes valuable to the servant. In this way, the servant naturally develops the qualities of his master. And Krishna, of course, from within, anartapasamam saksat bhakti yoga madoksha jay, by the process of bhakti yoga, purifies the devotee from within the heart and brings out all saintly qualities. In this way, Prahlad Maharaj by far was the son who was outstanding, who was extraordinary, not because of his power, because the thing about Prahlad, whereas in contrast, he stood in contrast to Hiranyakasipu. Hiranyakasipu was big and powerful, physically speaking, a very big, powerful man who could physically stand up against him. What to speak about his extended powers in terms of wealth, military force, and so on. And Prahlad was a 5-year-old boy. So naturally weak, right? Naturally an emblem of weakness. And yet, Prahlad somehow or other, he could not be affected by all Hiranyakasipu's arrangements. So this is very nice that a devotee is under the protection of the Supreme Lord. So the devotee is acting as the servant of the Supreme Lord. And this is truly the main quality, that somehow or other we become a servant. This is a great challenge. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a letter. And in that letter, he describes Hiranyakasipu. And he says, Hiranyakasipu, wherever he looked, he could not see the Supreme Lord. He looked everywhere. And Prahlad, rather, he was the opposite. Wherever he looked, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everywhere he saw him. So Prabhupada said, so on the one hand, Hiranyakasipu could not see the Lord anywhere, Prahlad saw him everywhere, and we are in between. Right? Sometimes we can see the Supreme Lord, and sometimes we cannot see the Supreme Lord. This is our condition. Somehow or other, many times, we forget Krishna. We forget to see Krishna. And then we see only ourselves. Ourselves caught up in unfavorable or favorable material circumstances. And we forget. We forget when there's a lot of enjoyment around us. Enjoy, enjoy. Or we forget. When we get caught up in suffering and feel that Krishna has abandoned me. But Krishna never abandons a single living being. There is no question that Krishna ever abandons any living being, ever. Even the most sinful, even the most degraded living being who deserves to go to the deepest regions of hell, still Krishna remains with him throughout the whole ordeal. Krishna is there also. Krishna is always there. At any moment, one can turn to Krishna and he's there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this wonderful process of Harinam Sankirtan. And the one of the most auspicious elements of Harinam Sankirtan is that it is not dependent on any external circumstance. I came through Dubai yesterday and I spent so many hours on the airport, so I saw different advertisements and they're building these cities in the desert, right? Nice green cities, you know, like with lots of grass and fountains and ponds and swimming pools and palm trees in the middle of the desert. And when you look, and then they show you pictures of what life is like over there, and then outside the city you just see completely dry sand dunes, nothing, not even cactus growing on it, nothing growing on it, dead. And we understand, artificially, they may create some green oasis, but basically that desert is such a sinful place that by nature there is nothing green, only artificially. With a lot of money, it can be created. So, such a desert is a sinful place, basically. Deserts are described as very sinful areas. And therefore it is said that a desert is not suitable for performing any yajna, any sacrifice. So, can you imagine what to do if that is the process? Yes. You're worshipping the Lord, and so in the process of performing yajna or sacrifice, a suitable place is very important. We also find in the scriptures references as to one should reside no further than 8 kilometers from a body of water. One must reside in such a place where the black deer is residing, and so on. Okay? So many conditions are being made for a suitable place, and so on. And if we really look here in Mumbai, where are the black deers? There are no black deers in sight. We have the water body, that part's okay. But no deers. So it is so difficult. Where would we all live? But Harinam Sankirtan transcends anything mundane. The holy name is available to all. The Gayatri Mantra is available to those who are in the mode of goodness. They can chant the Gayatri Mantra. But the holy name of Krishna is available to anyone. It doesn't matter. Not only to human beings, but to animals. Pakupasi juri, pakipasu juri, pashana vidare. It is said that even the paki, even the birds, they are being purified by the holy name. Pasana, the stones, even those who are dull, and even the stones will melt by this Sankirtan Yagya. All living beings are being purified. Like that. So the potency is very great. In connection to what we are reading, Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad, I mentioned that we are in between. We can, on the one hand, we can see Krishna, on the other hand, we cannot. I was mentioning that sometimes we see and sometimes we forget. But now I'd like to add that not only sometimes we see and sometimes we forget, but we see and we don't see at the same time. Because we see Krishna, but we do not fully appreciate who Krishna is. We see the holy name, but we do not fully appreciate the potency of the holy name. We see the Sankirtan movement, but we do not fully appreciate. Yes, yes, it is very nice. Yes, yes, it is a great blessing. Yes, yes, the temple is very transcendental. Yes, yes, Vaishnavas are very great. But how great? How transcendental? How potent? Do we realize? Prabhupada simply said, yes, yes, please distribute these books. Please distribute them. If they only read one verse, he says, then only one word, only one word. And the whole life becomes transcendental. Then the principle of Nehabikramu Nasasti Pratyavaya Navidjate comes in. That there is no loss or diminution. There is eternal progress. It stands. It cannot be destroyed. Everything will be destroyed. One day, there will be no more city called Mumbai. Mumbai. It will be gone. It will just no longer be there. It will be finished. We don't know how. Whether it is a tsunami or whether it is the tooth of time. Whatever it may be, one day it will be gone. And nobody will know that once there was a city here. Nobody. Right? Nobody will know. Everything in this world gets destroyed. Sometimes the atheists also attack the worship of the deity like that. Tagore, our famous Tagore, once wrote that the deity, your deity, came from dust and will return to dust. Meaning to say that the form of the deity is temporary. No, maybe the stone part is temporary, but yet the deity is completely, eternally Krishna, right? And that very deity will still be there when the whole world will be destroyed. Wherever the pure devotee goes, the world becomes transformed permanently. If a pure devotee goes to a particular place, that place becomes purified permanently. It becomes changed, transformed, blessed permanently. Because whatever the pure devotee is doing has a permanent effect. Yes. Still, the holy dham is different. There may be many, many holy places, many tirthas, but the holy dham is such that even when the entire world is annihilated, the holy dham will remain. So my first point was about Hiranyakasipu's good material fortune, his power, subsequently his pride, and yet his fear when he could not deal with Prahlad. When Prahlad turned out to have so much power, he became afraid of Prahlad. Then the second point was we are in between. We are in between Prahlad and Hiranyakasipu. We cannot appreciate Krishna. Sometimes we forget Krishna. Sometimes we remember Krishna, but even when we remember Krishna, we do not fully appreciate the extent of His mercy. So Srimad Bhagavatam helps us to gradually appreciate more. And the great and pure devotees, they rely so much on Krishna and they give so much importance, right, to one holy name. And there was this Gadadhar Das, not Gadadhar Pandit, but Gadadhar Das, who was in Navadvip and who went to the house of the Chantkazi. And he went just in the middle of the house of the Chantkazi. And Gadadhar Das was a very bold personality with a fiery nature. So he stepped into the courtyard of the Chantkazi's palace and he began to yell out, "You Kazi! You rascal Kazi!" Right? And he called him names. So the Kazi is coming out of his room roaring like, "Who in the world thinks that he can come into my residence and just call out things like that?" And he sees this Gadadhar. And Gadadhar says, "Chant, you Kazi, chant, chant the holy name, chant, chant Hare Krishna." Right? And the Kazi, somehow or other he knew Gadadhar, and how it happened he doesn't know, but the Kazi was pacified. Instead of ordering, "Kill him, you know, hang him, throw him in the jail or something like that, cut his head." No. Instead he says to Gadadhar, "Gadadhar, why don't you just go home and you know, it's late at night and why are you making so much noise? You know, huh? Go to sleep. Go to sleep, go home. Don't worry, you know. Tomorrow I'll chant Hare Krishna." "Why tomorrow? You did it now already. You've already chanted the name of Krishna." Yes. And he danced in ecstasy. The Kazi is delivered. He's chanted the holy name once. So we forget. We forget. But Srila Prabhupada mentioned that when the Harinam party goes through the street, all the people in the street are being purified. But that's not everything. The entire street is purified. And anybody who goes through that street, even after the Harinam party has left, also gets purified. So, the potency. So we see half. We see half. We see the mercy of Krishna, and we think, yes, Krishna is very merciful. But we are not appreciating how merciful. And that is why we still make some material arrangement as well. Yes, we keep a little bit of material security, a little money in the bank just in case, you know, Hari Bol, Hari, 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 Jai. But if it goes wrong, well, you know. ATM, you know, ATM, right? You know, ATM, what it means, old time money. Right? ATM, old time money. So, if anything happens, you know, have some money, throw it at the problem. No problem, no worries. Yes. So like this, we are still holding on to all kinds of material securities. Some money, this and that, you know, people we know, relatives, yes, everything like this. But we see that the great devotees, they have no faith in anything material. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, at the end of his life, was in his final days, he was not well, a doctor came and wanted to give him injections. He said, "Why are you trying to disturb me by putting needles in my body? Just the holy name is the only medicine. It's the only medicine." So such kind of faith that we see in our acharyas. And this is truly what we need to develop. This very deep faith in that we don't need anything but Krishna, anything but the holy name. This we cannot develop out of determination. It's not simply that if I ask at the end of the class, "Did you understand that you understand. Who understood? You know, and someone says, yes, I've seen the light. Yeah? And he walks out, right? And now it's all Krishna, Krishna. I rely only on Krishna. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't. Of course, sometimes a devotee surrenders very quickly and very completely. But generally speaking, we are undergoing a process of purification. We are following the process of sadhana bhakti. But at the same time, we are holding back. We are holding back. There was the story of a beggar. And this beggar was hungry and he was not successful and he didn't get anything and he was very weak. So he thought, let me go to the mandir, because there's always some people there and they are in a charitable mood, so maybe I'll get something there. But he became quite weak, so when he came to the temple, there was a pillar and he just started leaning against the pillar and he sort of embraces the pillar. So one man, he came and he saw this beggar and he said, psh, he's in a bad way. This guy looks like he might fall over any moment. I'd better give him something. So he had some muri, some puff rice in his bag. So he said, here, I have some nice muri for you. And the beggar is sort of embracing the column and he says, put it in my hands. So the man puts it in his hands. And now how is he going to eat it? He can't eat it. And if he opens his hands, it falls all over the floor. Right? So this is the situation. That as long as you hold on to the pillar, how can you eat? As long as we hold on to material things, how can we really relish Krishna consciousness? How can we get the full taste of bhakti? How can we then get the full faith? Because faith is related not on belief. Faith based on belief. Are you a believer? Do you believe in Krishna? Do you? You do? You do? Or not? You believe? Definitely. He says, yes. You can't hear it, but it's all there. He agrees. Yes, all right, that is a good start. But there is this initial faith. This initial faith, which is weak. It can be destroyed. If your house burned down, will you still believe? And then the same day, they steal your scooter as well. And then you fail your exam in the same month. Right? And everything goes wrong. Will you still believe? Are you sure? Very sure. He keeps on shaking his head. But not as enthusiastic as before. It is the nature of things that if everything goes wrong, it gets a little bit more difficult to believe. How can all this happen to a devotee? The doubt may come. Even Yudhisthira Maharaj at one point said, Krishna, you know, me and my brothers, we went through so many things. If this is what you do to your devotees, then what do you do to your enemies? He said it to Narada Muni. So, what does Krishna do to his enemies? Krishna sometimes will test us. And when we are weak, our faith will not stand. The most destructive force, what is the most destructive force in the world? Sometimes people think it's the nuclear bomb. Right? A nuclear bomb is so powerful. India has nuclear power. And once more, nuclear bomb can destroy the entire planet, just smash it to powder, they say. Prabhupada didn't agree, but anyway, they say. So they think the greatest, the most destructive force is nuclear power, isn't it? Do we agree? What is the most destructive force? Time, time, time. So yes, so time breaks down everything. And therefore time also destroys our belief. With time, you can believe, but if you get no taste, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Some time ago, I was on an airport. I'm always on airports. I was on an airport, and I saw this magazine. I think it was Time magazine or Newsweek, one of those. And on the front cover, they had a picture of Mother Teresa, and it said, "Mother Teresa's moment of doubt." So I think, what is this? You know? So okay, I read the magazine in the shop, and it was a revelation about some letters that she wrote to a priest that she was confessing to. Because in the Catholic faith, that is the practice. Everyone has a priest, they confess. So in her confession, she wrote letters. And in these letters, she wrote that, where is God? Right? I am not experiencing Him. Yes? I am doing everything for Him, but I'm not experiencing Him. Yes? So, like, these letters, somehow or other, were never meant to be published, but they were. And I don't think we are going to make a lot of it, because we appreciate that the sacrifice that she made. And for that, you know, she was a great personality. But still, it is just interesting, not to find fault with Mother Teresa, but to just look at what happens even to such a person who had so much inner strength to do a difficult task for a long, long time throughout her life. But yet, if for a long, long time we are not experiencing the darshan of Krishna, then start to feel, Krishna, where are you? Krishna, Krishna, is it all real? Are you really there? Are you there? Krishna, have you left me? Am I alone? Then it comes, that doubt, you see, even if you believe. That is the nature of the conditioned soul. That is the nature of the human being. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada begins the introduction of the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, his summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which describes the process of devotional service in practice, then in ecstasy, and then in love. And he begins there that he said, everything depends on taste. Faith depends on taste. No taste, then our faith will gradually weaken. Therefore, in bhakti, there is taste. It depends on taste. We are experiencing Krishna. There is an exchange with Krishna. It's not just belief. It's based on experience, on perception, and there must be taste. And that taste will come only if we really surrender. So it's not enough to just believe. Do you believe? Yes, 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 yes. Yes. We believe in Krishna. Yes. My great grandparents, they had deities that have been in my family since 7 generations. And we have always been Vaishnav. Yes. Always and vegetarian, no onion and garlic ever came into my house from birth. We are devotees. Yes, yes, we believe.
Yes, but how much taste? How deep is your taste? How deep is your love? How deep is your relationship with Krishna? How much are you living every moment in intensity with Krishna? So that leads up to something I wanted to share with you, because a few days ago I was reading in the Padjavali Rupa Goswami's verse book, and
not just any verse book, but Rupa Goswami's. So I thought I'd note down a few nice quotes. And I have two quotes that may be relevant to this particular lecture. And the first one is a quote from Ishvara Puri. Ishvara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was the disciple of the famous Acharya. The famous Acharya was Madhavendra Puri. Ishvara Puri, his qualification was being the servant of Madhavendra Puri, faithful servant. And Ishvara Puri was writing, "This mango tree in Vrindavan is now overwhelmed by remembering you. It dances, moving its branches in the breeze. It sings in the form of these humming bees. It sheds tears in the form of these many drops of honey. It stands erect in ecstasy in the form of these new sprouts. Oh, Mukunda, as dear to me as my own life, why is this tree so filled with love for you? Why am I so hard-hearted that even that even your name will not enter my heart?" So here we see the devotee who is living intensely in every moment with Krishna. And yet he feels his separation from Krishna. And he sees a tree. And the tree works like a mirror. It reflects his own consciousness. And he sees this mango tree in Vrindavan now overwhelmed by remembering you. The tree is remembering. He sees how the tree is remembering Krishna. It is dancing. The tree is dancing also, moving its branches in the breeze. Just see. See this tree. He's seeing the tree. We look outside and see a tree. It's a brown and green. That's about it. Nice to have a little green. But how is he seeing the tree? It sings in the form of these humming bees. It sheds tears in the form of these many drops of honey. It stands erect in ecstasy in the form of these new sprouts. Oh, Mukunda, as dear to me as my own life, why is this tree so filled with love for you? Why am I so hard-hearted that even your name will not enter my heart? See, this is the devotee who is intensely, intensely thinking of Krishna every moment and of the relationship with Krishna. Is thinking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Why don't I have any love for Krishna? That is how he's thinking. So that's how what it means to be Krishna conscious. And it has to come to that. So we are now preparing. And therefore we must very seriously take up this process of hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna in different ways. Then I have one last story, which is also about Krishna, from the same verse book. Can I get a drop of water?
Aha, there it is.
Oh, my rising dark moon, my child, you are not asleep. No, sleep has not come to me. Listen, my son, I will tell you a bedtime story that will make you fall asleep. What is this story I have never heard? Please tell it. Mother Yasoda then told the story when she came to the sentences. Then Lord Nrisinga appeared from the pillar. Lord Nrisinga was very eager to rip the demon to shreds. A smile suddenly arose on child Krishna's lips. What do you think of that? Krishna's bedtime story to make him fall asleep. Ripping Hiranyakasipu to shreds. That makes Krishna smile, and that makes Krishna fall asleep. Because Krishna will never, never tolerate any demon harassing his devotees. In this way, we see how Prahlad became glorious
because Krishna was protecting him all along. Okay, finished now. Any questions? Any comments? I'll give you 3 seconds. And otherwise, or else you are in trouble. One. Two. He got intimidated. Sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes you dance in the kirtan, and if you don't dance in the kirtan, then Gauranga Priya comes. Then you will dance in the kirtan.
So sometimes we are just dancing for fun or chanting. So we are chanting in the mode of passion. Means.
Who says?
Like, I feel sometimes, all the time I don't think about Krishna even when I am dancing. Sometimes means.
No, it's not required. Krishna is there. The holy name is Krishna. That's all. And you can have fun with the holy name. You can dance and laugh. And that's not the mode of passion. That is completely transcendental. Yeah. Gauranga Priya is a transcendental terror. I mean it in a good way, you know, but... like that, you know, it's transcendental. Transcendental. Because the holy name is Krishna. So whether you are constantly... you don't have to, while you're in the kirtan at the same time, try to meditate on Krishna with a flute somewhere in Vrindavan. You simply have to remember, this name is that Krishna. And you know very well that it's not ordinary music. You know very well it's not break dancing. Huh? You know it's not just ordinary sound, Bollywood or whatever. You know that, right? Just drums. It's not just about drums and rhythm. You know that there's a whole transcendental aspect to that kirtan. You know you're going in there and you know that not only are we running around here and having lots of fun, which we are, but we get purified at every step. We're getting the mercy at the same time. And that makes it so nice. Huh? When we have some delicious prasadam, very rich and opulent and so on, like last night they tried to feed me cream dosas, you know. Cream dosa, right? So you have cream dosa and samosa, and it is very nice, undoubtedly, but that's not everything. What good is a cream dosa when it's not prasadam? Some ordinary, mundane cream dosa cannot compare to Krishna prasadam, isn't it? We wouldn't want this, you know, we run for the Mahaprasadam, right? Not only because it tastes good, but because it's also fully, both, because it's transcendental. So both aspects are there. So don't punish yourself and say that you're dancing in the kirtans in the mode of passion. I didn't see any passion in that Guru Puja, only transcendental madness. That's all right, transcendental madness. Lord Chaitanya was dancing in madness. He said to his spiritual master, "This dancing made me mad." Spiritual master said, "Very good. This is very good. You are very fortunate." Yes. Where is it going? If you keep on going like this, soon one man will walk out of the gate with a microphone. The chokidar is already coming. All right, I think this was the end then. Huh? Okay, you have a hand. Yes. Microphone to the middle. Give it back. Whoever stole it. It's not working. Hare Krishna to you too.
Then you have to speak very loud.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Very good question. We have so many rituals in Hare Krishna also. So, are we basically not going in the same way as the Mayavadis or others like that, Karmakandis and so on are going? Well, the rituals are not the main thing. The Karmakandis or Mayavadis are performing rituals, and their aim is to get a particular result from that. So they don't care about the ritual itself. The ritual is the means to obtain a goal. But the devotee realizes that the goal is the so-called ritual itself. You see, because it's actually not a ritual. A ritual is always a particular activity we perform to attain another goal. But in bhakti, we are not performing ritual, we are performing seva. Just like when we are offering the incense to the deities, that's not ritual. We are trying to please Krishna's senses. Yes. We're making an offering to Krishna to please his senses. So that in itself is already the perfection. We do not want anything more. We just want that. Please allow me to offer this incense. So we don't perform the ritual in the hope that I'll get this benediction, that benediction. No. Simply allow me to just offer this incense again and again. Allow me to offer this flower eternally. This is the perfection. This is the perfection. Because as long as I'm offering flowers to your lotus feet, then I'm safe. Then I'm very safe from Maya. So, of course, in the beginning we don't see it like that. And when we are neophyte in spiritual life, we are also performing all these activities in the hope to attain something else. Yes? But gradually we get purified in the process. And then we realize, I actually already got it. I already got it. What I was asking for. I'm performing this ritual and I'm asking Krishna, please give me pure devotional service. And then we realize that actually all along, all these rituals were actually pure devotional service. So, therefore I have everything. Yeah, it is actually not ritual, it is actually seva to Krishna. And we don't want any other benefit from it. Just allow me to do this again and again. That is the difference. Whereas others, they just do these ritual. The Mayavadi performs the ritual until he gets the realization of Brahman, then he gives up everything. A Mayavadi has a guru. In Mayapur, one time, Bhavananda was helping Prabhupada to step over a puddle of water. So there's this big puddle, and he gave him his arm to lean on because Prabhupada had to make a big step. And then when Prabhupada was on the other side of the water, he pushed him away forcefully. And it's like Bhavananda was shocked, you know. In an aggressive way, Prabhupada pushed him away. And he said, this is what the Mayavadis do. They use you to get to the other side, and then they push you away. So they use the process, and then when they attain what they want, they give up the process. But no. We follow a process, but this process itself is the perfection. There's no greater perfection than to just serve the deity of Krishna or to serve the holy name. No greater perfection. Therefore, what comes from chanting? More chanting. That's all you get from chanting. So are you sure you want to chant? Because all you get from chanting, all that chanting you're doing, and what you get from it? More chanting. Ready for that? Think once, think twice. Yes, because this chanting is the greatest nectar. This
The service of Krishna is the greatest nectar. So they are not rituals actually. Very, very nice. But we can only, in the beginning, we can philosophically understand that, but we cannot realize it in our heart yet. But gradually, as we get more and more purified, we begin to realize it in our heart and we begin to actually experience it. This is the greatest nectar. But in the beginning, it feels just like rituals. It does. Even if we philosophically understand. So your question is very important. It's a very relevant, important question. So they are not rituals, but it feels just like rituals in the beginning. But in the end, we realize it's the greatest nectar. In the beginning, we are counting our 16 rounds. 6 more, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, 5 more, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 4 more to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 3 more, almost finished, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 2 more, 2, 1 more, last one, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, bing, finished. What a relief. I've finished my rounds. That's the beginning. In the end, we can't stop. Right? We can't stop. So nice, this chanting. How can we stop? Cannot stop. But I am going to stop right now. Because there are many other things to do. So thank you very much. I'm just in transit this time, so I cannot really spend too much time with big, big programs. Another time. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai.